Reiner Schog from TSN. Join us, Schogger. How you doing?
Good, good. And I'm pretty sure I was 11 points, fellas. So I met and achieved your bar for dub points.
Oh, 11 in your career. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to tell me you got 11 in like a Pee Wee game or nothing. It was still pretty good. I don't care.
No. Over the course of an entire season.
Oh, okay.
Ryan, that's 11 points more than I had in the Western League.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy Harrison getting 10 points in one game in the WHA is pretty damn good.
You imagine that? I mean, we witnessed Sam Gagner do rattle off eight points on a grand stage in a national broadcast. I was working that one. That was pretty incredible and felt like it was one for the ages. But 10 points would be unbelievable. Imagine what the fellas in the locker room were saying after that one.
Oh, yeah, could you imagine? Nuts. Well, it's kind of like what the players are saying in the locker room just after one goal, never mind a 10-point game. But, of course, the return of Connor McDavid, and now it makes its way to Eastern Canada, the capital city, where there's lots of Oiler fans. And we talked to A.J. Jakubek. People in Ottawa, everybody's excited to see McDavid. But let's start with the changes on the blue line. You win the game 5-1, yet two defensive changes. Schultz is in for Clendenning, and Davidson comes off the IR, and he is in for Reinhart. What do you make of the changes?
I don't have an issue. I don't think Griffin played very well the other night, flat out. I thought he made some soft plays with the puck. I thought he got shoved around in the blue paint too much. I don't think he was assertive enough. I don't think he played very well, flat out. So I got no issue at all with them yanking him. And Schultz in for Clendenning. I mean, Clendenning was okay, but the guy, yeah, he's going to be in tough to stay in the Oilers' top six or seven. He doesn't skate very well, so Justin Schultz, to me, moves a lot better. So, honestly, neither one of those changes bothers me, despite the fact that they're coming off of a win, because I think that Clendenning was just okay, and I thought Reinhart wasn't very good.
Yeah, I think the same thing. And they're not trying to trade Clendenning. I mean, Schultz being a bit of a cynic here. If you're gonna show him around the league, if he's not in the plans, show him around the league so somebody says, yeah, he's still playing, he's still healthy. All the talk, and as you'd expect, about McDavid, as we said, Ryan, but the one thing that's a bit under the radar here, and I'm sure Todd McClellan's fine with it from an opposition point of view, is Draisaitl and Hall. Taylor Hall's played awful well recently, and if the attention both publicly and on the whiteboard in the dressing room is heavily leaning towards McDavid, that's good for the Oilers, because if they can run two real lines now, they can win some hockey games.
Yeah, for sure. I agree, Robin. And what'll be interesting to watch with Taylor is, as Connor draws back into the lineup here and starts taking the lion's share of the attention and the tough matchups, which way is Taylor going to go? With probably less media duty to do because Connor's back, and with fewer matchups against the other team's number one D pairing, you would think his life is nothing but easier and that the door is open for him to produce even more. But Taylor is also a guy that, he doesn't mind, I think, the attention either. And I think Taylor, maybe wants to show that he is still the big dog. So I like that competitiveness in Taylor. So with Connor coming back in, and if Connor picks up where he left off production-wise, it'll be real interesting to see which way Taylor goes and what happens to his production, how the body language looks. It'll just be an interesting study in Taylor Hall with Connor McDavid back and very much in the center of things.
That didn't seem to be an issue earlier on in the season. Hall got off to a slow start when they got separated. It was kind of tit for tat with Hall actually being a point ahead of him. So I think the Oilers finally now have two legit threats. And, you'll see how the two work. 5-on-5, I thought the Hall-Draisaitl line was actually the Oilers' best line on Tuesday night.
Yeah, they were very good the other night. And Taylor, I mean, you could tell, man. Connor was back and he was making things happen and he was rocking and rolling. Taylor didn't get – there was a couple shifts early on where he didn't have as much ice time. And you could tell he wanted to be engaged. And so that play on that icing – where he blazes down. I mean, first of all, he got a bad call. The one he won the race, and they still called it icing. Then a little bit later on in the game, just makes a powerful play in behind the net, just out of kind of frustration and anger, just powered the guy off the puck, basically, and then made a fantastic play out front. Like, Taylor, Taylor's going to have something to say here, and it'll be fun to watch him from here to the end of the season, because I think between that line and between McDavid's line, the Oilers definitely can give top four defense pairings all over the league fits. They should be able to. Those guys can expose pretty much anybody. I mean, that was basically, not that it's saying a lot, but that was Columbus's top pair that Connor McDavid went right through.
Yeah, it's interesting, Ryan, and Gregor touched on this already. If you were looking for a soft spot in the schedule to have Connor McDavid return, and also if you got to go out on the road where you haven't been very good, and you need to get on a roll to at least keep the conversation going about playoffs so it doesn't become a laugher, starting here against Columbus and then going into Ottawa and Montreal is not a bad place to start. The Islanders and Jersey aren't murderer's row either right now.
Yeah, for sure, and I think it's just kind of fluke. It worked out that way, but it is definitely one of the positives of him coming back when he did. That they hit a spot in the schedule where, I mean, you get Connor back, the shape of the lineup, it's different now. It's a new look. It's a fresh start. And if Todd McClellan wants to try some stuff out, you know, they got Clendenning in the other night. You're not playing against these gangbuster teams that just ram it down your throat to the point where they just – wouldn't be able to tell what worked or didn't work because they're playing against some of the best teams in the league. Well, now Todd can, you know, he can work things around a little bit, and he can, you know, for Connor, it's these two games that he's playing, his first game and his second game, from a defensive standpoint, I mean, it's going to be two of the easier games he'll play all year. You know, Ottawa doesn't, I mean, they have good defense, and Eric Karlsson's, I mean, he's a good player, but he's not going to make life hard on him. So, perfect situation for him to come back, get comfortable.
Well, yeah, I've been saying it all week. This is a perfect storm in what's been a very tough season for the Oilers and really not getting any breaks. It's the perfect schedule, 30th-ranked defense, 29th-ranked defense, now the worst team in the league on a Saturday afternoon. And you know what? It allows a young guy, and I know he blew the doors off everybody's expectations in one game. And, you know, his confidence, I think, is now even higher than it was. And, you know, you talk to Connor, it was such a relief for him just to get back on the ice where he loves playing the game. But, you know, for the Oilers, they do now, I think, have two lines. Hall's on a 6-game point streak very quietly. So, you know, you look at McDavid, he's a threat. Hall and Draisaitl are obviously a threat. He's got 3 goals in 4 games. No one's even talking about it. And I think that's the good thing probably moving forward. I'm curious about the matchups on the road, Ryan, as you watch it. You know, Eric Karlsson plays 30 minutes, and if you're Todd McClellan, I think he looks at it as a matchup. Okay, whichever line it is, I don't care. If it's Hall's line who has Karlsson out, the next line that's coming is going to be McDavid and vice versa, because that way I don't think Eric Karlsson, you've got one line who's not facing their top guy, and I think that's going to be maybe a little bit of the chess match. And I know McClellan likes to rotate his four lines fairly evenly, but I wonder, because Carlson's such a special defender, that they look to say, hey, whichever line's getting Karlsson, the next line coming out automatically is going to be my other top line.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Jay, I don't really think Karlsson is a special defender. I think Karlsson is an elite offensive defenseman and an okay defender. And so I don't think the Oilers are going to have any issue whatsoever defensively. I don't know they're even going to worry about that matchup. I mean, if I'm Todd McClellan, I'm happily putting either McDavid or Hall out there against Eric Karlsson. Those are two players who are, there are a few players in the league who can match that player's speed, his foot speed, and either one of them can probably handle him from a battle standpoint. He's got a good stick, he's cerebral, he's intelligent, he's dangerous when he jumps up, but he's no real big threat defensively.
Yeah, but
honestly, if I were the Oilers, I wouldn't worry. Let him go. I mean, you get Connor McDavid out there, Eric Karlsson's out there, I like Connor in that matchup all night long.
Yeah, well, you still Karlsson forces guys to play defense a lot more than most other defenders, and I still don't think that's the forte or what McDavid or Hall want to be doing first and foremost. Keep in mind, Ottawa is the 7th highest scoring team in the NHL.
Yeah, no, and they have to be respectful of that. But I guess what I'm saying is, if they're moving north like they want to be with those guys, and they're in the offensive zone. You know, I like that matchup. It's not something that if I'm Todd McClellan, I'm worried about getting either guy away from. But you're right. I mean, Karlsson, he takes that puck, and I mean, his first pass is fantastic. He's a few strides and he's out of the zone. He transports it well. He creates and generates offense. And part of the reason why he's so good is because when he's on the ice, they don't have to spend much time in the offensive zone. But with that said, not a lot of teams can bring Connor McDavid at him, or a line that's got Taylor Hall's speed and those types. These aren't big, slow guys that are going to have trouble gaining the zone against Carlson. Like, I think the Oilers are tailor-made to play a lot of minutes against that defenseman if they can get it in the offensive zone.
Yeah, I agree, Ryan. The one thing Carlson doesn't make you do is pay physically with all those minutes out there. So if it's a scramble, get the puck, I'm kind of with you. I'll say Connor McDavid, Taylor Hall, you go get it before Carlson does, and we'll take our chances. And the other thing is there's not a whole lot after Carlson in my books on that defense.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, there's that Boryatsky, or however we're supposed to say his name. He's more of a physical player. There's not a lot of big name guys, and it's not a real deep blue line. And if the Oilers can move north and get it into their zone and make life tough on them in their zone, they don't have a defense that can defend this caliber of forwards when the Oilers are going. So it's a huge advantage. But we run into trouble with Ottawa is when you let some of their guys, they get some zone time and they start feeling it. They don't have a ton of skill, but, you know, they got guys that work pretty hard, and when they're feeling it, they can generate. But this is a night where the Oilers should be, I would think they would be able to have most of the zone offensive zone time.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Schultz comes back in. Would you play him with Davidson and Nurse with Greiba rather than Nurse and Schultz?
I don't think that's what they're going to do. I mean, from what I could tell out at the skate at Leduc yesterday, they had Nurse playing with Schultz. Davidson and Greiba were playing together before he got hurt, were they not? Greiba and Davidson
guys were playing together.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were, and I didn't mind that pairing. Like, honestly, I think I really like Derek Greiba's game. He's been steady.
Mm-hmm.
He just sort of says, hey, here's what I've got, and he gives it to him most nights. I don't mind that, and I think that's a good – that's a good veteran pairing for, for Brandon Davidson. And you almost wouldn't mind having a veteran player like that can play with Darnell Nurse to kind of, you know, help stabilize things with him. I mean, for Darnell to have to play with Justin, it definitely puts more strain on him than you probably want on a rookie. But Davidson's a rookie, too. I don't know. I like that pairing. I thought they had some success before. I would probably just stay with Davidson and Greiba.
Yeah, and that's a lot of physical eggs in one basket too. If you were to go Nurse and Greiba, be tough on the opposing forwards, but it also leaves you vulnerable in that third pairing with Davidson. One game ahead, you hearing anything new out of Montreal? Is Price going to even be back this year? It's starting to get bizarre there, and of course they finish with the Senators, go right in against the Habs, and that story just seems to get stranger out there as to when Price may or may not be back.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I don't know if you guys saw the video yesterday. I don't know if everybody had the video or what, but John Liu filed a story for SportsCenter yesterday showing Carey Price skating around in a tracksuit and a helmet,
mm-hmm.
and a stick that was broken. And the reason his stick was broken was because something frustrating had happened and he'd smashed his stick and busted it. And so he was out there for a skate looking really ginger, didn't look very good, looked like he was frustrated. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to try and diagnose the guy, but he's been out so long now, and then he's out there skating slow circles in a tracksuit. How's that guy, like, how far is that away from being in a crease pushing side to side doing the splits? It looks miles and miles away from it. So I don't know the answer, but all I know is that everything is on fire out there. I mean, you got veteran columnists like Francois Gagnon talking about trading PK Subban. It's just a disaster. And for them to fall as far as they've fallen, it just becomes so clear the value of Carey Price. But how the organization handles this 4 months of being brutal in the big picture, how Mark Bergevin handles it, they've still got good pieces. And when Carey Price comes back, whether it's this year or next year, they've still got a team that can compete. And not panicking, I think, is going to be crucial for them because it sounds like everybody all around them is preaching some form of panic.
Yeah, it's been a tough stretch, no doubt, for the Montreal Canadiens. Do they need to blow things up? Probably not. Will they make some moves? I think they will, but they are destined, I believe, to be a team on the outside of the playoff picture this year. Shogger, we will see if the Edmonton owners can find a way to at least get them closer to a playoff cut line and beat a team that right now they probably should beat because as bad as Montreal's been, Ottawa's the second worst team in the NHL since the end of November. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good, boys. I think they'll beat them tonight. I can see the Oilers winning this game by a few goals, and they'll keep some momentum going on the road. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ryan Rashog from TSN. Greg.